soon as the flag lights come in again, because everybody would be still standing. And
so the first hymn.
After the first hymn and end.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Appleby United. I would like to extend a special welcome to the 15th Strathcona Scouts. Thank you so much for being here. And also to Andrea and Keith for leading this group. We're so happy to have you here on the special service celebrating Baden-Powell Sunday. I have so many fond memories of guiding as a young girl, and then as a leader when my daughter was a brownie. I'm very pleased to know that guiding and scouting remain an important part of many young lives, giving girls and boys the opportunity to meet new friends and experience exciting adventures that will help shape them into responsible young adults. So I've had a chance to look at all the announcements in the bulletin. Holy doodle, Appleby is a happening place. Quilters and bridge and euchre, oh my. Coming up, we have a rummage sale April 18th, a St. John's Ambulance first aid training course. The deadline for the next order of fun script is Sunday, March 1st. And this coming Tuesday is the pancake supper from 5 to 7, which we will hear a little bit more about in a second. Are there any other announcements besides the pancake supper? Okay, Keith.
Good morning again. As mentioned, it's the pancake supper on this coming Tuesday. You can either get tickets at the door, or Mike Naylor will be in the hall after the service with tickets available. They're $10 for adults and $25 for a family of four. Thank you.
Well, I happen to have some very exciting news. As you know, Appleby has been searching for a music director to replace Ian Dykstra. A committee was formed last November, and I am very pleased to announce that we have offered this position to Ms. Christine Chesebrow. Very briefly, she's amazing. Very briefly, Christine has an undergrad in music education and a master's in music performance from Western University. She plays several instruments and has church choir directing experience. Christine blew the committee away with her audition, and we were of course impressed with her during the interview process. I can tell you that Christine met and practiced with the senior choir a couple of weeks ago, and no doubt the choir was quite taken with her, as she was with the choir. Christine lives here in Burlington with her husband and her young son. Her start date is Thursday, March 19th, when she will lead her first official choir rehearsal. The congregation, of course, will be able to meet Christine on Sunday, March 22nd. I believe there will be cake. So please be here. And now I will light the Christ candle.
lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus is always present in our midst.
And I'm not done yet. So as you can see, Reverend Allen is away until next Sunday. Many of you already know Pat Gilmore, who will be conducting the service today. I had the pleasure of meeting Pat last week for the first time. So for those of you who do not know her, I'm going to fill you in on a few facts. Pat was a teacher in Montreal in the 70s. Actually, 60s and 70s. And when Quebec was in great turmoil, many families left the province and came to Ontario. Pat and her husband settled in Burlington, where they attended Port Nelson. It was very difficult for Pat to find a position teaching here, so it didn't take her long to get involved in the church, and from the mid-80s to 1995, Pat was the staff associate and Christian education coordinator at Port Nelson. I've heard some of you refer to Pat as the book lady. In 1995, Pat became the resource manager of the United Church Book Room, and although she is retired now, she seems to spend a lot of her time working at Grand River Books at Five Oaks in Paris, Ontario. Understandably, one of her favorite things to do is read. Pat and her husband had two daughters, one living in Brantford and the other in Kelowna, BC, where Pat travels back and forth quite a bit to visit grandchildren. I'm sure many of you will enjoy catching up with Pat in the hall after the service. Please welcome Pat Gilmore.
It is indeed my pleasure to be here this morning. Your minister, Allen, he has a way with him, right? And he said, so Pat, it's Thinking Day Sunday. Do you know anything about that? Well, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about this later. But this was presented to my father by Lord Baden-Powell in 1910. So, anyway. So I said, yes, I do have some knowledge of scouting and guiding. I myself, I was interested in Diane saying that she had been a brownie leader because when we first came to Burlington, wanted to get my daughter into brownies. Well, if you're a leader, she gets right in, right? So we've all had that experience, and so I've been very involved with the guiding movement especially. So it is a great joy to be here and share in the service with you, and try not to think about Alan running around in this beautiful warm weather, as he said, hopping from island to island. Well, will you join me in acknowledging God's presence? From the coldest nights of winter to the first welcome notes of spring, we come to be transformed. Just as Jesus changed and grew throughout his life, we come to be transformed. As we prepare to turn away from all those things that would turn us from the path to the kingdom of God, we come to be transformed. Let us now on this Thinking Day Sunday listen carefully and follow Jesus' teachings, because we come to be transformed. Well, Transfiguration Sunday, we talk about being transformed. We talk about transfiguration meaning change. And as I came in here this morning, I hear there was quite a change. We were expecting all kinds of young women, I believe, in here today. We were expecting some guides and brownies. But to our delight, we have males instead, so that's really great. However, I have to tell you guys, I was going to read from a book called 5-Minute Stories for Fearless Girls, so I'm going to have to kind of change my story a little bit. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this. So I've been kind of going onto YouTube and listening to Lord Baden-Powell the last few days, sort of to try and get myself into the whole thought again of thinking day. But my dad would tell the story that he wanted to be a runner, an Olympic runner. That was always his thing. It's always his dream that he thought that that's what he'd be able to do. Now, as I'm saying, we're talking early 1900s here, so this is a long time ago for you guys to think about. Anyway, his dad believed in the outdoors, and his dad really got involved, was very taken with the scouting movement, and he became the first scoutmaster in Birmingham, England. So, if you're the scoutmaster, you're going to expect that your only son is going to join into the scouting movement, right? In fact, you have no choice. So my dad did join. And unfortunately, he found that he was asked to be with a scouting program on Saturday afternoon, and that was the afternoon when they did all the training for the running. And so he certainly was always involved in scouting. He did get his silver wolf, I believe, which my brother hasn't loaned to me to bring to you to show today. But he certainly turned to scouting instead of running in the Olympics, so we'll never know if he ever could have made it to the Olympics. But instead, he had a wonderful time in the scouting movement. And as I was listening to all of the things that Baden-Powell talked about, you know, getting out into the outdoors, learning things, and you think of the promise. Can you guys say the promise for us? Would you be able to do that? No, too shy? Okay, let's see. Well, how about turning around and facing the congregation? Because I... There, great, all right, okay. Great. Well, thank you. So, because we're not going to read the story, by the way, was about the Girl Scouts and Michelle Obama. So maybe I could change it to the Boy Scouts and Barack Obama. But the whole story really was about the girl was asked to show Michelle Obama, when they were camping on the White House lawn of all places, how to tie a knot. Now, do you guys all know how to tie special knots? You could show me? Yeah, I bet you could. Anyway, they asked this girl to do it, and she was really afraid because she thought, oh, I'll never be able to show Mrs. Obama how to do that. And so when she listened to the story of how Mrs. Obama had grown up in poverty and overcome so many things, she thought, you know what? I shouldn't be afraid. And I think that's a message for everybody to think about, that sometimes we get so afraid of doing something, we won't do it right. And in the story, the girl that was going to show Mrs. Obama how to tie the knot, she didn't tie it right the first time, and neither did Mrs. Obama. But that was okay. So they both then were able to tie it properly at the second time. So I think the thing is, we need to think about not being afraid when we're kind of asked to do some new things. And in fact, when you go to the Bible, you're going to find so many times that people are afraid. They're always worrying, am I going to do it right? Oh, will I get beyond this, and so on. And so I think a really good thing for you to all remember is, do not be afraid. Try something, and more than likely, it's going to turn out way better than perhaps you thought it would be. Now, we're going to sing Jesus Bids Us Shine, and one of the reasons that you have this today is I thought this would be very appropriate to have while we were singing Jesus Bids Us Shine, to remind us that we have God's love inside of us, and we need to shine that love out to the world, because my goodness, the world needs to be shown Jesus and God's love. So if you'll turn it on while we're singing, that would be really great. So let us sing Jesus Bids Us Shine. and our assurance of God's never-ending love. The good news of God's love is this: God is more persistent than we are. God sends us what we need so that we can come to our senses and change our way and our path. Thanks be to God.
Pen, sorry. Good morning. You all know me. I'm Andrea. I have been a proud member of Girl Guides of Canada since 1987. Since Alan announced my age a couple weeks ago, you can now all do the math. And I also am involved with scouting, hence the Necker, since about 2014. This morning's Old Testament lesson about the stories of the people of Israel is from Exodus chapter 24, verse 12 to 18. God calls Moses up the mountain. You can find that in your pew Bible in the Old Testament on page 92 or up on the screen. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up the mountain to me, and while you are here, I will give you two stone tablets, which contain all the laws that I have written for the instruction of the people." Moses and his helper Joshua got ready, and Moses began to go up the holy mountain. Moses said to the leaders, "Wait here in the camp for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you, and so whoever has a dispute to settle can go to them." Moses went up Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered it. The dazzling light of the Lord's presence came down on the mountain. To the Israelites, the light looked like a fire burning on top of the mountain. The cloud covered the mountain for 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from the cloud. Moses went up the mountain into the cloud. There he stayed for 40 days and nights. Thanks be to God.
And the lesson from the New Testament is Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9, Jesus transfigured on the mountain. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and the brothers James and John and led them up a high mountain where they were alone. As they looked on, a change came over Jesus. His face was shining like the sun, and his clothes were dazzling white. Then the three disciples saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how good it is that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was talking, a shining cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my own dear son with whom I am pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard the voice, they were so terrified that they threw themselves face downward on the ground. Jesus came to them and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." So they looked up and saw that there was no one there but Jesus. As they came down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Don't tell anyone about this vision you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Yonder come day.
I don't know the rest of you. I was kind of really, that's amazing. So thank you for that music. That's really got us going now, and now you have to sit and be quiet. So, Transfiguration Sunday. When Alan mentioned that it was Thinking Day Sunday, he didn't mention that it was also Transfiguration Sunday. And talking to some of my friends or ministers, they said, Pat, I don't think that's a very good time for you to be taking a service. So that didn't make me feel too comfortable, because the whole thought of transfiguration. Now, do you guys down there, do you know what transfiguration is? Does it make any sense to you? I hate to always be putting you on the spot like that, but anyway. So, transfiguration. How many of you guys have had transformers? You know what transformers are? Do you have some at home? Can somebody tell me what a transformer would be like for a little old grandmother who doesn't know about these things? A car? Okay. Yeah. I was just out visiting my grandson, and he was finding, he apparently knows about Amazon, and so he was pointing out all the transformers that I could get for him, you know, because, you know, he's so far away now in Kelowna that, you know, how is grandma, like, who normally would probably be bringing him something when he lived around here? So I couldn't believe it. Like, he's 8 years old, and he, I don't know, do you guys do that? Pick out stuff from Amazon to get it sent? Probably don't want to own up to it. Anyway, so transfiguration is like that. Like, it's going to be a religious way of doing it, but certainly that would be like transformers. The other thing that I could think of that would show you metamorphoses, which is the word that it comes from, is how a thing changed. Now, I'm sure you know story about the caterpillar, you know, the little old caterpillar, and what happens to the caterpillar over time? It turns into a butterfly, right? So that's the same sort of thing. And I actually had, for anybody answered it, I had a present of it, but it's to make colorful butterflies. So if you would like that at the end, I can give it to you. All right, so that's kind of putting it into context then, that we're talking about a very amazing experience that happened in the Bible, and it just happens to fall on Thinking Day. So I'm thinking, how do we link up the two? And of course they can be, because by going through scouting and guiding and brownies, you become transformed. You start off one way as you go starting off with the smallest groups, and then as you learn more and more and more, you are transformed because you know so much more than you did at the beginning. So there is a transformation taking place, maybe gradually and not quite the swoosh that we get in the Bible story today. Now, let's maybe see if there's anyone here that has a really good memory. This has been the season of Epiphany. And epiphany, that's another one of those big words, but sometimes you have an epiphany when suddenly something is like, oh, that's what it's all about. Well, this has been the season of Epiphany, and today actually is the last Sunday of Epiphany, and also has the other name of Transfiguration Sunday. But at the very first Sunday of Epiphany, there was a very special scripture that probably was read in this church. Does anyone remember what that scripture was? I won't tell Alan that you didn't know. You're close. But it was the story of Jesus' baptism. And I know somebody was just going to say that, but you were too polite to yell it out. So this was a story of Jesus' baptism, and this was as John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus. Remember, all of a sudden, there was a voice, there was light, and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So that happened on the first Sunday of Epiphany, and now here on the last Sunday of Epiphany, we're going to hear the same thing. So on the first Sunday of Epiphany, it was almost like Jesus was kind of introducing, or God was introducing Jesus to the crowd. So today, we're going to kind of think of having gone 3 years since January to February, because Jesus has been out with his disciples and they have been out preaching, healing, and so on. And now, 3 years later, this is when the story from Matthew takes place. And this was Jesus now trying to prepare the disciples for what he was going to be going through. And as you know, as we're now preparing for the season of Lent, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. Now, when somebody starts to tell you about, well, it looks like I may not be making it, I may not be able to live much longer, probably what you're going to be saying is, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about, no, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And so that's what was happening in this particular time. The disciples didn't want to listen to Jesus tell them that he was not going to be living, but he was going to suffer. He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to suffer. He was going to be put on a cross and die, but there would be a resurrection. So the disciples were kind of yakking around to each other, and there was quite a lot of tension because they really didn't want to get onto a subject like that. And so Jesus then decided that maybe he needed to get his inner circle away from this so that they could go away and pray. And often that was something that he did, that he would take the disciples away so that they could be quiet, they could pray, they could listen to God's voice. And I'm sure that some of you like to do that too, where you just get away to be quiet, meditate, and think about what's really going on here, what's really happening. So after they then set out, and there's kind of a discrepancy as to, or I guess not maybe a discrepancy, but people say, well, we think it was Mount Tabor that they went to, but then there were other people that say there were other mountains that it could have been as well. Anyway, it was a long climb, and any of you who have climbed a mountain, you know that it's not an easy thing. And so after you've climbed the mountain, these Peter, James, and John, guess what? They decided they needed a sleep. So because it had been so hard climbing up the mountain. And I should tell you that this, we read the story from Matthew today, but this story is like so amazing that it appeared in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and sort of a little, sort of a bit in John, but not to the same extent. So you know that this had got to be an amazing experience to be reported in all of the Gospels. Well, here they are. We'll go back to the story. They're asleep. And you know what happens when you're asleep? All of a sudden, what's going on here? There was a jolt, and what happened is that they were awake, and they see that Jesus was transformed in appearance and filled with light. On either side, now see if you can get this picture. Here he is, he's filled with light on one side. My goodness, that's Moses, the lawmaker. And on the other side, there's Elijah, who was one of the most famous prophets. And you may have not heard about these people before, but if you keep on studying, you'll know more about Moses and Elijah. So the reason for that they were on either side was really to confirm Jesus's messianic identity. It appeared that Jesus was even talking to them. So here are these people, and Jesus is like chatting back and forth with them. And this was a very significant time for them. And they realized, the disciples, that they actually were on holy ground. And before they could do anything, a cloud came over them and covered them, and a huge light and so on. And so Peter, of course, says, you know, he was always the impetuous one. He jumped up and he said, I could build three shelters, one for Moses, one for Jesus, one for Elijah. But while he was talking, God cut into his speech and again said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So this is God telling the disciples that they need to listen to what Jesus is telling them. They can't tell him anymore, don't tell us more about it, that they really have to listen to what is going to be going on. They looked and they continued to see this light over Jesus, but the other two, Moses and Elijah, had disappeared, and there was only Jesus there with all of this light over him. Now, if you had suddenly seen that, if that suddenly appeared, and I was trying to think how I could do that here when I came, but I gave up that idea of how you could show that you were transformed. But if suddenly a great light appeared in here and everything, I think you probably would be very afraid and wish that Alan were back here, certain thing. Anyway, Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. And I guess if you were in that scene right then, you would sort of be, what really happened here? Did I really see that? Did I just imagine it? Was it a dream? Because remember, they had been sleeping, so it could have just as easily been a dream. Anyway, Jesus got them sort of back on track and said, don't be afraid, and let's go back down the mountain. And he told them something very important. He said, you must not tell anyone about what has happened today. Now that would be pretty hard if you'd had an experience like that, right? And you'd seen it. You're going to want to get down there and tell. You can't believe what happened, right? But he had told them, do not tell anybody about this until I have been crucified and have risen again. Then that's when you're able to tell people what actually happened. So the disciples go back down the mountain. They get down at the bottom of the mountain, and there's a crowd gathered around there. Remember, there was always a crowd gathered around if Jesus was around. And a man came up to them, and he asked to be healed. He had demons in him. And so Jesus said, well, do you believe? And the man said, I believe. And Jesus was able to heal the man. And so the disciples continued following Jesus to continue the work that Jesus had set before them. Now, what does this story mean for us, the transfiguration? Amazing when you keep thinking it, your imagination is going, you're thinking about whatever happened there, and what does that really mean? Well, you know, your eyes can play tricks with you, right? Scientists have proved that your brain can pick out what you want. And you know sometimes when there's been an accident or something and they get witnesses and everybody seems to have a little bit different, and you know how we kind of put different, okay, well, that one noticed that, this one noticed that, and so on. And so, like, if you've ever had something happen to you at school and you want to tell the teacher about it, maybe two or three of you saw it completely differently, right? So that was sort of what was happening there, that there would be different versions of what they had seen. The embrace of the Transfiguration is surrounded by multiple equivocations. Jesus is the Messiah, Peter says, but then he rebukes Jesus for talking about the suffering that was ahead. And remember, Peter was a great one, as saying, oh, I'll be loyal to you, I'll be true to you. And then remember the first time he was confronted, oh, do you know Jesus? Nope, never saw him before at all. Remember, he just totally denied him. Secondly, the Transfiguration reminds us that when God comes near us, everything changes. Suddenly, the disciples saw Jesus not only as a wise teacher and a courageous leader, but as a fulfillment of God's messianic promise. Jesus was a truth teller to the powerful. They also saw him as one who stood like with Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop in that sacred place where the veil is lifted between earth and heaven. The Transfiguration changed not only their view, but it also transformed them. And so it is with us. Now, I was here a few weeks ago for the week of prayer for Christian unity. And Reverend Allen said that he often likes to throw questions out and have you discuss it. So I thought, well, why don't we do that? So I'm asking you this question. Have you ever been to the mountaintop? Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? And if so, what did you do about it? And what were your next steps? So just take a minute and think. Have you ever had, might not have been quite like that, but you guys too, you think about something that maybe happened to you that you couldn't really believe, but it totally changed how you were thinking. So think about it for a minute or two, what that might have been. And then I remember Reverend Allen just saying, turn to someone and maybe share it. So just share it for a couple of minutes. And I know that you're all used to doing this. I checked that out with Diane. And she assured me that all I have to do is, and you come back to attention. All right, go ahead and share. Well, that's great. I'm going to have to ask you to come down off the mountaintop for a few more minutes. And I hope that you had some good conversation and were thinking about some of the things. I was trying to think for myself, and certainly have had many mountaintop experiences over the years, but it's funny how one came to me a long time ago in Montreal. Our minister had asked us to go to this event in downtown Montreal, and it was like people from all different faiths. So, you know, you do get a different perspective. And it was just so amazing listening to people from all, you know, different ways of praying and singing and reading scripture and so on. And I guess a group of us that came from our church, we were just like on fire, like this is so exciting, you know, we're out of our place, out of our comfort zone. And what we did, though, I guess there were about 10 of us, we left this place and we went out onto St. Catherine Street, which if any of you know, Montreal is like a main street of Montreal. And we had our arms all around each other singing, "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and you'll know we are Christians by our love." And I thought, my goodness, I actually did that, you know. But it was quite a transforming event to think that here we were, like in the middle of sort of society and, you know, singing away, letting everybody know that we are Christians by our love. So I hope that maybe after the service I'll hear some of your mountaintop experiences and how perhaps you have been transformed and changed by them. You know, none of us know what we might be called to do. Who knows what courage we might need to face injustices or speak encouragement, accompany the vulnerable or challenge corrupt power? May we be blessed with epiphanies that open our eyes to God's presence with us, and may we be transformed by what we are. The church waits for transformation, the transformation that comes from a fresh vision. We need to discover hidden talents, share learning and neighborhood action with other church and faith groups, applying the ways of Jesus to meet contemporary needs. The world needs transformation. And now we will sing together, "It Only Takes a Spark," which is something I remember from my guiding days. Thank you. You always believe in mountaintop experiences here, don't you? Well, now we come a chance to give to God's work in the world. I guess that translates for me, the offering. Holy God of peace and justice, accept what we do and what we give this day. Accept the sacrifices, both big and little, that we make of our time, our energy, and our resources. Bless what we offer, we pray, for the life-changing ministry of Jesus Christ. We ask it in his holy name. Amen. And as a dedication to the offering, loving, caring, and generous God, we thank you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We dedicate them to furthering the work of your kingdom as we seek to follow the teachings of your Son, Jesus. Will you join me in prayer? Holy and all-knowing God, we are grateful for your presence among us today. We give thanks to you for all of the blessings of our lives. We are so thankful for the leaders and the young people in the guiding and scouting movement. It is exciting to watch their transformation as they use their gifts and talents to grow and learn new skills. We are thankful for all who care for us. We are thankful for those who make important decisions in our city, province, country, and the world. Forgiving God, we acknowledge that it's so easy to stray from the teachings of your Son, Jesus. Help us to take the time and discipline ourselves so that we may do what is right in your eyes. Help us to be transformed as Christians. May we take the life-giving power and hope received during mountaintop experiences. Caring God, we have so many things on our mind these days. We worry about friends and relatives, the state of our country and the world. and we ask for healing and comfort for those going through difficult times. We pray for people who do not have food to eat or a comfortable place to stay. Healing God, we bring to you prayers that are on our hearts. We name them now, aloud or in the silence. We lift these concerns to you, and we know that in your love and in your time, you will answer them. We pray for us who are stuck by our own interpretation and versions of the truth, that we may be moved by the Holy Spirit. Help us to be transformed, transfigured in the mountaintop moments of our life. And now let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And maybe you might want a light again. I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world.
I am the light of the world. Dream of God.
So remember to go out into the world and carry this light, God's light, into the world, because they really need to hear from you. Take a step and then another. Come down from the mountain. We leave as pilgrims, taking deep breaths. We follow Christ. Behold, we go to share the wonder we have come to know. And I think it's very fitting, as we come from the mountaintop, we need to go out with joy, bringing God's love out there to the world.